Happy Sabbath, happy Sabbath. Not sure how to start this. Oh, I'm expecting it to see it here. I'm like, what's going on? All right, there we go. So I'm gonna have to look back sometimes. That's all right. How you guys doing today? How much time I got? You guys are a little later than most folks. By this time, we're going home. As a late folks. I saw Pastor Bushner. To me, it's funny to call him Pastor because I've known him as Chaplain Bushner for so long at Oakwood University. He was one of the big guys, the big dogs that all the theology majors looked up to. And we always call him Chaplain Bushner. We've kept in contact throughout the years, but we kind of have not been in contact as much. Do I need to talk like this? As contact as much. And recently, I'm just minding my business at Planet Fitness on a treadmill. I never seen him there before. He shows up, taps me on my shoulder, says, "Hey, how you doing? I would like to come preach for me." I said, "Sure, anything that brother asks me," he's like, "Sure, whatever." And I've never seen him again in the gym. Don't tell him I said that. That's not what I mean. My point is that this is a divine message, specifically for you guys at this time. Know that God has sent me to preach this today. I don't think you guys understand. Before we was born, this message was ordained to be preached today. Not because of me, but it's because of God. So anything I say that you don't like or you get mad at, be mad with God. You could be mad with Pastor Bushner too, but not me. I'm just a messenger. Ron Isley, a 37-year-old tiger handler, was fatally mauled by a tiger he raised at the Gwola Pines Tiger Preserve in Hugo, Oklahoma, in September of 2025. The attack occurred during a live on-site demonstration in front of observers, where the tiger bit and killed him instantly. This was described by experts as a mistake by a wild animal rather than a malicious act. Wildlife expert Forvis Galante noted that the tiger didn't necessarily mean to kill the handler, citing it was just a cat being a cat. A tiger being a tiger. And I would like to add a beast just being a beast. The tiger killed the man because he had the heart of a tiger, because he had the heart of a beast. And there's some questions I'm gonna pose to you guys today, message of hope. Is there a beast in you? If so, what does your beast like to do? Do you enjoy the beast in you? Or do you cooperate with the Holy Spirit to help tame the beast in you? Are you in control of the beast, or is the beast in control of you? Or you a sundown beast? Well, what's a sundown beast? Preacher, I never heard of that. You act like a lamb for a couple hours on Sabbath, but then you can't wait for sundown to go back into living like a beast. Folks, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to tame the beast in you, that beast will eventually kill you spiritually and cause you to lose your eternal salvation. Does your life exhibit the heart of a lamb, or does your life exhibit the heart of a beast? And that's the title of today's sermon, The Heart of a Beast. PowerPoint. Is it on? This way? Oh! Okay. You want to, it's good? Ah, there we go. Doesn't look too good. Uh-oh. The heart of a beast. That's good. Good? All right. Let us pray. Oh God, you know I don't deserve this privilege or this honor. But I pray today, God, that you use me as a mirror, that as I look up to you and you look down towards me and others look to me, that the only reflection they'll see is yours. God, I ask that you use my brain as a microphone and my mouth as a speaker, that as you speak into my brain, that the only voice will be heard coming out of my mouth is yours. God, I also ask that you make all those who are way too comfortable uncomfortable. And all those who are uncomfortable, please, God, help them to be comfortable. Speak to me, through me, and for me, Lord. And use me in spite of myself and despite of myself. Please show up and show out. And I'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. God, I also ask that you rebuke the devil from this place, far away, at least 100-mile radius. Forgive us for all our sins, please, God, and save us. In Jesus' holy name, we truly pray and we say, amen. The heart of a beast. We're going to be reading the book of Daniel chapter 4. It's the only chapter in the book of Daniel not written entirely by Daniel. It's the only chapter in the book of Daniel written by a pagan king along with Daniel. Now, we have other kings who have written books in the Bible. King David, 73 of 150 Psalms, Book of Psalms. King Solomon, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. But there's nowhere else where a pagan king wrote in the Bible. And what we miss when we read Daniel chapter 4 is that this is actually the personal testimony of a pagan king who had the heart of a beast. We're going to be reading Daniel chapter 4. We're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3. We're going to jump all the way to Revelation 13. We're going to come and we're going to end with the bottom part of Daniel. So if you follow me just like that, you're going to be all right. Daniel chapter 4, 3, 13. But we're going to read the word today now. We're going to get in the word. All right. King James Version. I'm old school. Nebuchadnezzar the king to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High has, God has worked for me. So he's the pagan king is bragging on God. Verse 3. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Guys, we are reading the testimony of a pagan king. Verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the vision of my head somehow troubled me, it says. Verse 6. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Verse 7. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. What King Nebuchadnezzar was saying is that I Googled this dream. I looked on YouTube for a video about this dream. I went to ChatGPT and Gemini and Claude to ask AI about this dream, but I couldn't find an interpretation. This is our first lesson from the text. You can never find secular solutions for spiritual problems. Secular solutions can never be resolved, can never resolve biblical issues. You will always come up empty. Verse 8. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar. According to the name of my God, in him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, verse 9, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you. Explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. So King Nebuchadnezzar went to Daniel and said, Daniel, I'm coming to you because ChatGPT failed me. I couldn't find a video on YouTube to help me, Daniel. Google had no answers. Grok and Claude and Gemini could not figure this thing out. So I'm coming to you, Daniel, because I believe in your God, not because of my relationship with your God, but because of your relationship with your God. This is another great lesson for us. Folks, when you live a life dedicated to God, even non-believers will respect your God. They might not believe in your God or worship your God, but because of your dedication to your God, they will respect your God. That's what I always tell young ladies, and I tell my daughters this all the time. If you don't respect your body enough to abstain from premarital sex and then claim to serve a powerful Christian God, then why will a young man respect you or your God if he can get whatever he wants from you without going to your God first in marriage? Verse 10. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great, he's saying. Verse 11, the tree grew and became strong, and its heights reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to all the ends of the earth, he says. Verse 12, its leaves was lovely, its fruits abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of heaven dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it, he says. Verse 13, I saw it in visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher. The term watcher is a term for a celestial being or an angel, a holy one coming down from heaven. Verse 14, he cried aloud and said, chop down the tree, cut off his branches and strip off his leaves and scatter his fruits. Let the beasts get up out from under it and the birds from his branches. Verse 15. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze and the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And now it's going to go from being talking about a tree to talking about a man. And let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Verse 16. And let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him, which means 7 years. Verse 17, this decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living, this is the reason it's going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar, that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will, and sets it over the lowest of man. First point of the sermon. God puts whoever he wants in leadership roles. Folks, we can't question God or his decision to allow anyone into office, including President Trump now or Biden before. Folks, if you're more fixated by the leader of a country than the leader of the universe and claim to have faith in God, then something is wrong with your faith. We serve a God who sets up kings and put down kings, so it really doesn't matter who's in office on earth. What really matters, who's still in office in heaven. A man on earth holding office in a country shouldn't put more fear in your heart than a man sitting in the throne in heaven holding office over the whole entire universe. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We need to focus more on who is sitting on the white throne than who is sitting in the White House. No man on earth has more power than the man sitting on the white throne in heaven. Why am I saying this? Because I'm sick and tired of Seventh Adventists panicking every single time the president does something. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. and we need to get our mind right. Something is wrong with Adventists who talk more about Trump than they talk about Jesus. And they come to me saying, but preacher, I can't sleep at night because of Trump. I tell them good luck with that, because I sleep great at night. You know why? Because my mind is on Jesus. These people are always panicky, panicky, panicky. How do you live like that? I refuse to live like that. Snap out of it. You're a Seventh-day Adventist. Act like it and stop embarrassing the rest of us. But I know there's nobody like that in this church. But when you go visit another church, you let them know what the preacher said. Verse 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. King Nebuchadnezzar really believed in Daniel's God. Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time. He's trying to figure this thing out, and his thoughts trouble him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, I believe by now God already told them the interpretation of the dream. But now he's about to glaze Nebuchadnezzar up for this bad news. That's what he's doing. My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concerning your enemies. And I could see Daniel and God talking. God have ever revealed to him the interpretation of the dream. And God and Daniel is saying, but God, you sure you want me to tell him this? You know this man is crazy. And God says, go ahead, Daniel, tell him. And Daniel is like, God, you know this guy is cuckoo. You see what he did in chapter 3 with the fire and the furnace. And God says, no, tell him, Daniel. Verse 20. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruits abundant, and which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. This is the big reveal, verse 22. It is you, O king. I know Daniel was holding on to something. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. It reached to heaven, not because the king was righteous, because he was wicked. Verse 23. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, an angel, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leaves a stump and roots in the earth, bound with an iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field through 7 times pass over. Verse 24, which is 7 years. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord. They shall drive you, Nebuchadnezzar, from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you, 7 years, and this is the reason it's going to happen, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. God is saying, because you act like an animal, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to turn you into an animal. Because you act like a beast, I'm going to turn you into a beast. Folks, we all have a beast inside of us. And the name of that beast is sin. And it's up to us if we allow the beast to control us and take over our lives, or we can resist the beast and let the Holy Spirit control us. Because if we allow the beast to control us, this beast will eventually kill us and cause us to lose our eternal life. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to tame the beast inside of us and turn this beast into a lamb. Verse 26. And as much as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that the heaven rules, not Xinfang Ming from China, not Kim Jong-woo from North Korea, only heaven rules. Daniel just told him the bad news. Now he's going to give him some good news. Therefore, O king, let me give you some advice. Be acceptable to you. He's going to tell him two things he has to do to try to prevent this from happening. Be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by righteousness. So become righteous. And your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. So he's saying there's two things you can do to prevent this from happening to you. Become righteous and show mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. How many believe Nebuchadnezzar listened to Daniel? Verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. God put him on probation for a whole year to get his act together, to get his life together, to humble himself and repent before God had to humble him. Folks, you rather humble yourself. Trust me, you do not want God to humble you because it probably is going to hurt. Some of you in here has been talking, God has been talking to you for a long time, but you refuse to humble yourself. Just like Pharaoh with Moses, King Nebuchadnezzar was arrogant and self-absorbed. No honor to God, no gratefulness for his blessings. He doubted God's warning, even though he knew God wasn't playing. And he knew Daniel was right. Many of us are still playing with God, even though we come to church every Sabbath. We're still watching pornography, committing adultery, fornicating. Humble yourself and repent before God has to humble you. And stop exhibiting the heart of a beast. The king goes on to start speaking Babylonian language in verse 30, which is pride. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" The king had the I, my disease, which is the same disease that Satan had when he got kicked out of heaven. The second point today. Is this thing working? Folks, nothing belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. The only thing that we own is our sins. The king was so cocky and self-absorbed that he failed to realize that he was only king because God allowed him to be king. Folks, any position that you have is because God allows you to have it. Everything belongs to God. King Nebuchadnezzar fell because of his pride. And we know pride go it before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Nothing belongs to you except for your sins. Everything else belongs to God. You heard the story of Satan and God. When God was created Adam, God created Adam and he finished. And Satan said, God, can I try? I can create a human. God said, okay. So Satan gets down and he starts creating. And God taps him on the shoulder and says, yeah, I have one rule. And he looks up. He said, what's that? He said, get your own dirt. Everything belongs to God. Everything. Nebuchadnezzar failed to admit that everything belongs to God because of his pride. And pride always goes before destruction. This is why pride is so bad for a Christian. It makes you think that you are God and God has to bow down to you. When you disrespect the Sabbath and pretend like God doesn't know, you're acting like you are God and God has to bow down to you. When you live like a beast all week and then you come to church to pretend like you've been living holy all week, you're acting like you are God and God has to bow down to you. Matthew 23:11 says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humble. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Folks, we don't own nothing. Everything belongs to God. From your car outside park that looks beautiful, belongs to God. Your house that you live in and you sleep good at night belongs to God. Your bank account all belongs to God. everything belongs to God, even our bodies, because we are not our own. That's why we should not be sleeping around and disrespecting God's body with gay activities, adultery, fornication, abortion, claiming it's okay because of women's rights, talking about this is my body. That body does not belong to you. Well, preacher, you can't come in here preaching that kind of stuff without receipts. You're right. I got receipts. Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, you little grasshopper, for you were bought at a price, the price of God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Nothing belongs to us, including our own bodies. The only thing that we own, the only thing that belongs to us, is our sins. And God in his mercy says, give it to me so that I can cleanse you from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. So stop coming to church acting like you bought that car, like you bought that suit, that dress you're wearing today. Nothing belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. Verse 30. Then the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Verse 31. I love this verse right here because it says, while the word was still in the king's mouth, while he was chewing on his pride, while he was chewing on his self-confidence, a voice came from heaven. But the king should have known that Isaiah 55:11 says that, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth, it shall not return to be void, but it shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. If God says it, it's going to come true. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, as we keep reading, the kingdom was departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And it gives to whoever he chooses. Folks, that very hour, it says, verse 33, the very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Think about that. Nebuchadnezzar was in his palace talking to his counselors, and they just having a regular conversation. And then the word of God came true, and he just transformed like a transformer and turned into a beast. Got on his fours and walked outside and went in the back of the palace and started eating grass in the same place he pooped. Because God said so. That's our third point today. We've been touching on it. Humble yourself before God has to humble you. Because you won't like it if he has to humble you. Trust me. Not only will you respect my prophet, God told Nebuchadnezzar, but I'm going to make sure you keep the help message. God has a sense of humor. You're going to be more vegan than any vegan in the Seventh Adventist Church. You're going to eat grass and water. King Nebuchadnezzar became an Adventist before there was Adventists. Can you imagine that? In the palace, he's in the back, and folks, because he's the king, folks are coming to see him. Hey, we want to see the king. And his counselors are like, no, hold on. And they go back and wait for us right here. And they go and they look outside and they say, he's still eating grass. Oh my. He can't see you right now. He's on vacation. He's been working like an animal. And they go back and they come back 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. And they come back. We want to see the king. Where's the king? And they're like, hold on for a second. They go back. And the king is still eating grass and pooping in the same grass that he's eating. They're like, no. God just removed his humanity to fully display the beast that was inside of him. So he didn't have to pretend to be human anymore. This is a warning to all who are listening, those who live like a beast all week and come to church to pretend to be a Christian. Don't let God reveal the beast in you. Repent and dedicate yourself to being like a lamb and not like a beast. Stop feeding the beast. Stop being comfortable with the beast inside of you. Because when you get comfortable with that beast, he will lead you to places you thought you would never be. Doing things with people you thought you will never do. Homosexuality, adultery, pornography, this is all beast mentality, thought process. These are signs of having the heart of a beast. Like I said before, King Nebuchadnezzar was turned into a beast. But God not only made him a true believer of his prophet, but he also made him keep the help message. He made him an honorary seven-day Adventist. He said, not only are you going to eat your words, but now you're going to eat grass. You went from meat eating to grass delicacies. Just for doubting the Most High, God had to humble him. The man turned into a beast and became an animal. This is where we get the term for Babylon as the mark of the beast. Because the king of Babylon literally turned into a beast. God allowed Neb, listen to this. God allowed Neb, they probably call him Neb. That was his nickname. God allowed Neb to be a beast so that he can put some lamb in him. I'm going to say that one more time because I don't think everybody got that. God allowed Neb to be a beast so that he can put some lamb in him. He made him eat the same meal Daniel and his buddies ate in Daniel chapter 1. God said, because you try to force them to eat meat, I'm going to force you to eat grass for 7 years because I warned you. And God gives us all choices. He warns us all. You either live like a beast or you live like a lamb. We either follow the dragon beast or we follow the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. But the devil wants us to live like a beast. When you take another man's life with no regard for life, you are living like a beast and you're exhibiting the heart of a beast. The devil has convinced the world that it is better to live like a beast than to live like a lamb. He wants you to speak beast language. You know what's beast language? Cussing. We got too many cussing Christians, which makes no darn sense. That makes no sense. How are you a cussing Christian when you're supposed to be speaking blessings on people? The word cuss means to curse. So now every time you curse, not only are you cursing the person you're talking to, but you're cursing to yourself. That's beast language. Babylonian language. One of the first things I stopped doing when I came off the streets of Brooklyn, New York, is cussing. Because I know it wasn't from God. He wants you to watch beast movies and listen to beast music so that he can form in your brain a beast mentality, because he knows that those who think like a beast will live like a beast and they will eventually receive the mark of the beast. You either live like a lamb and think like a lamb, or you think like a beast and live like a beast, the heart of a beast. You see, a beast life makes you comfortable with sins. Then you start to compare yourself with others and start making excuses for your sins. So what? I'm an adulterer, a fornicator, and I'm addicted to pornography. My life is not that bad. At least I'm not a pedophile, a drug user, or a murderer. A beast life teaches you to soften your sins so that you can get comfortable with your sins and start to excuse your sins. Just like the Pharisee says, well, at least I'm not like the publican. Is there a beast in you? If so, what does your beast like to do? Do you enjoy the beast in you, or do you cooperate with the Holy Spirit to tame the beast in you? Are you in control of the beast, or is this beast in control of you? Are you a sundown beast? You act like a lamb for a couple hours on Sabbath, but then you can't wait, looking at the time, for sundown to go back to living like a beast. Folks, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to tame the beast in you, that beast will eventually kill you spiritually and cause you to lose your eternal salvation. Does your life exhibit the heart of a lamb, or does your life exhibit the heart of a beast? Now, is there evidence of King Nebuchadnezzar acting like a beast before Daniel chapter 4? Of course there is. the chapter before, Daniel chapter 3. Do you think it's a coincidence that Nebuchadnezzar was in beast mode one chapter before, then the very next chapter, God actually turns him into a beast for messing with his children? Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and we all know the whole situation with the image of gold, and they have to bow down to it. We're in the midst of this right now. But what we don't understand when we read Daniel chapter 3, it gives us a picture of what's going to happen in the end times during the time of trouble. 15, verse 15. If you're ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. This is King Nebuchadnezzar talking. But if you do not worship, you should be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And this is where he messed up. This is why God turned him into a beast. He said, and who is the God who would deliver you from my hands? King Nebuchadnezzar challenged God. Folks, don't you ever challenge God, because God is going to show up. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Basically, they were saying, look, you fool, we have no need to answer you in this matter. These are my favorite verses in this chapter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king, you fool. And this is the kicker right here. This is the 1-2 punch, verse 18. But if not, hallelujah. Oh man, I'm enjoying this all by myself. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship your stupid golden image which you have set up. Folks, this is where we have to live as Christians. A Christian walk doesn't take root until we get right here. God, I need this prayer answered. Please answer this prayer, my Lord. But if not, God, I'm struggling with high blood pressure, diabetes. God, the doctors say I got cancer. Please cure me of this cancer, Lord. But if not, I will not serve no other gods. I will not leave you, God, or your remnant church. I refuse to worship the image of the beast. I will only worship you, just like Job, my Lord. Even if you slay me, I will still. Even if my marriage is falling apart, I will still. Even if I lose my job and don't know how I'm going to pay my rent, I will still. Even if you slay me, Lord, even if I die worshiping on the seventh day Sabbath, Lord, hallelujah, I will still trust you. Job 13:15, I will still worship you, and you alone, God, deserves my worship. But if not, I will still. If you ain't got to this point in your Christian life, you're not a Christian yet. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Old Neb about to turn into a beast. This that beast mentality and beast behavior. It says an expression with verse 19, on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded, so he made a command. Man made a command, so they either follow God's first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, or man's command and bow down and worship this image. Folks, this is a clear picture of what's going to happen at the end of times when the Sunday law passes. That they heat the furnace seven times, and he got turned into a beast. For how long? 7 years. Do you think that's a coincidence? You see, God said you want to heat the furnace 7 times? Okay, I'm going to turn you into a beast 7 years. Mess with my people. More than it was usually heated. Verse 20. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army. So these are the army rangers of Nebuchadnezzar. To bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. They threw them. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments. My question to you, do you think that their garments was enough for them to make it through the fire with? They needed somebody else's garments to protect them from the fire. Folks, do you think our garments is going to be enough for us to make it through the fire in the time of trouble? No, we're going to need somebody else's garments, the garments of Jesus Christ, his white robe of righteousness to make it through the time of trouble. Verse, and we keep reading. And were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they throw them in there. Verse 22. Therefore, because of the king's command was urgent, because Project 2025 decree was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, like hellfire, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So his army rangers who threw them into the fire, they got burned up, all up. Verse 23. But listen to this. This is, listen to this. Glory to God. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down in the midst of the fire, burning fiery fire. I always wonder myself, why did they fall down? Why did they fall down in the fire? I'm going to tell you. They fell down in the fire because Jesus showed up. So they saw Jesus in the midst of the fire and they fell down and started worshiping. This is for somebody in here today. You might be going through a fire right now and it's burning you up. Don't focus on the fire. Get on your knees and worship Jesus in the midst of the fire. It's funny how there's three Hebrew boys. And in the end time, is going to be a people with a message of how many angels? That's warning us not to follow the beast. Or they will be thrown into a burning fire, tormented with fire and brimstones. And God is reversing this thing in the future. And the smoke and the torment will ascend forever and ever and ever. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke and saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men into this burning fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. So Nebuchadnezzar's looking, probably got binoculars or something. He looked and he said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm enjoying this all by myself. And they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Flesh could not have revealed that to him. Only the Spirit of God could have revealed that to him. Verse 26. And Nebuchadnezzar went near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come on out, come here. You're the next contestant on the price. No, there's not. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst. You gotta have fun with this thing, man. Came from the midst of the fire. And the straps, the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the Senate, the House, everybody from the White House gathered together. And they saw these men whose bodies, here we go, here we go. This fire had no power. I wish somebody in here was listening to what I was saying today. Y'all look like y'all sleeping. I'll make y'all get up and do jumping jacks or something. I'm going to say it again. They saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not even singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of fire was not even on them. They had a Holy Ghost force field protecting them from the fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But this is where King Nebuchadnezzar goes from a beast into a lamb. Watch it. Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Folks, my wife told me to bring a handkerchief, and I didn't bring it. Now I'm sweating. Listen to your wife, men. At the end of time, when the Sunday law is passed, a death decree is pronounced, it doesn't matter what the government will do. It doesn't matter what laws will be passed. God is going to deliver us as long as we trust in him. We too will have a Holy Ghost force field that will protect us in a time of trouble. And Sister White said that God is going to send angels in the form of humans to protect us. I don't care what religion you are. That's their problem. But I'm going to talk to Seventh Adventists today. Everybody here in Seventh Adventists? No. We should be the least of all religions worried about what's going to happen at the end of time, because we know exactly how it's going to end. Jesus wins at the end and we go up with him. There shouldn't be no worries, no fears, none of that nonsense. Leave that to another religion. Leave that to the Baptist. Leave that to the Pentecostal. Leave that to the Methodist. But Seventh Adventists should be showing what they believe. All this panicky, panicky, panicky. But not you guys. I'm talking about the other church. People over there. The church over there. Now, I'm almost done. Now we're going to see. Let's read 30, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach. Oh, wait. I didn't read everything. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, I'm on 29. Language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no God who can deliver like this. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the promise of Babylon. Now we're going to see the beast mentality that's going to happen at the end of times in Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Everybody go there. Yeah, I probably forgot all about that. Don't worry about that. Close your eyes. Don't look at that. Revelation 13, verse 11. We're almost done. No worries. I know y'all want to go home. Now, the problem that people have with the beast, trying to figure out the mark of the beast, is that they don't even know what's a beast. How can you figure out the mark of the beast if you don't know what's a beast? So a beast is a country, kingdom, or power. Say it with me. What's a beast? A country, kingdom, or power. And because God has a specific day, a holy day, Saturday, the devil also has a counterfeit. I'm going to go through this real quick. Verse 11. We're going to start at verse 11 because we ain't got time to start from the top. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. The reason it comes out of the earth, because it's a less populated area. We saw Rome, the first beast, come out of the water because it was a more populated area in the top part of this chapter. He has two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. The reason he has two horns like a lamb, because there's a separation between church and state. It looks like a lamb because it starts Christian, but it really is demonic because it speaks like a dragon. Verse 12. And he exercises all authority. This is the kicker right here. All authority of the first beast in his presence. America only does what Rome allows them to do. I'm about to hit y'all hard right now. This is why I have denounced all political parties. Because who do they belong to? America, the lamb-like beast who's being controlled by Rome. So if you're part of a political party, you are sleeping with the enemy. Because at the end of time, Republicans and Democrats are going to come together to attack the people of God. And we are going to be known as domestic terrorists. I denounce all political parties. I stop watching all news. You know why? I'm tired of being controlled by these institutions and by the news. I'm tired of them using my emotion to control me. So I said, no, 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 no. Plus, they belong to Rome. But that's me. Y'all do what y'all want. You do you, boo-boo. Verse 12. And exercises all authority. America exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. That happened in 1798 during the French Revolution when a general of Napoleon, General Berthier, took the Pope into captivity, and he died into captivity. He performs great signs so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth and the sight of men. And he deceived those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. America cannot do nothing without the permission of Rome. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image. The image, the same image, which is Sunday worship. To the beast, Rome, who was wounded by the sword and live. Why does it say he was wounded by the sword and live? Because even though the Pope died in captivity, the church continued on. Verse 15. He was granted power to give breath. When Adam and Eve was made, it was just a corpse until God did what? He gave him breath. So America is going to give life. Breath is life to the Sunday law. To the image of the beast, that the image of the beast, country, kingdom, a power should speak. The only way a country, kingdom, or power can speak is through laws. And will cause as many who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Verse 16. He causes all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Let me tell you this. Nowhere in there does it say the color of your skin matter. Nowhere in there does it say political parties. The only thing that matters at the end of time is, do you have the seal of God or you have the mark of the beast? Do you have the heart of a lamb or do you have the heart of a beast? Nothing else matters. The rest of this stuff that we see in this society on TV is a distraction from the devil to keep us away from the things of God. We need to snap out of it. And that no one would buy or sell except who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. So there's four stages to the Sunday law. First stage, refrain from work on Sunday. Second stage, honor Sunday but can still worship on Sabbath. Third stage, cannot worship on Sabbath, fines, no buy or sell, jobless, imprisonment. And the last stage is debt. Verse 18. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. The vicar of the Son of God is a title. When you look at it in Latin and you calculate those letters and Roman numerals, you get 666. Everyone will take sides. A corrupt union has been formed to tear down God's memorial of creation. The seventh day, which he had hallowed and blessed and gave to man to be a sign between God and his people, to be observed throughout their generation forever. A period is coming when everyone will take sides between the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, which the Lord has sanctified and blessed, and the spurious Sabbath instituted by the man of sin. Now here goes Sister White connecting Daniel chapter 3 to the last days. And an idol Sabbath has been set up as the golden image, which was set up in the plains of Dura. And as Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, issued a decree that all who will not bow down and worship this image shall be killed. So a proclamation will be made by all those who will not reverence the Sunday institution will be punished with imprisonment and debt. Thus the Sabbath of the Lord is trampled underfoot. Manuscript 7, 1896, February 27. Verse 34. And at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. Nebuchadnezzar came to himself, just like the prodigal son. And I see you guys falling asleep, so I'm going to go keep going. And I bless the Most High and praise and honor him to who he lives, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. One thing we got to understand, that God did something special to Nebuchadnezzar. He turned him to a beast. He took him outside. He changed his diet, and he made him believe in his prophet. He showed him country living, made him keep the help message, and told him about Ellen White. I'm enjoying this all by myself. You're killing me right now. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, verse 35. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Now, listen to this point. How many people do you think is going to be saved in heaven because of Nebuchadnezzar? Think about that. We are now, I'm preaching on Daniel chapter 4, most of it written by Nebuchadnezzar. What do you think is more impressive? The life of Daniel, who worshiped God and stayed with God from the beginning till the end, or the life of a pagan king who loved to barbecue people, turned his heart to God? Verse 36. And at the same time, my reason returned to me, and of the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles restored it to me, and I restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor to the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice, and whose walk in pride is he is able to put down. Last point, and we're going to get out of here. Why not bow down now and be saved if even those who will be lost will still have to bow down? Philippians 2. Therefore, God also has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should what? Of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And when it says under the earth, it's talking about those who would be resurrected for the time of day of judgment. They too will have to bow down. Everybody will eventually have to bow down, from Satan, the Pope, the devil's angels, and everybody who has the mark of the beast and the heart of a beast on judgment day. They will all bow down and say, God, you was right. You was trying to create in us the heart of a lamb to teach us to follow the lamb, but we rejected your truth and decided we would rather follow the beast because we preferred to have the heart of a beast. I'm done. Is there a beast in you? If so, what does your beast like to do? Do you enjoy the beast in you, or do you cooperate with the Holy Spirit to tame the beast in you? Are you in control of the beast, or is this beast in control of you? Are you a sundown beast? You act like a lamb for a couple of hours on Sabbath, but then you can't wait. What time is it now for sundown to go back into living like a beast? Folks, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to tame the beast in you, and allow him to eventually kill the beast, that beast will eventually kill you spiritually and cause you to lose your eternal salvation. Does your life exhibit the heart of a lamb? Or does your life exhibit the heart of a beast? Stand with me if you want to only exhibit the heart of a beast. Stand with me. Stand with me. Stand with me. We're done. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean the heart of a lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys been listening. Glory to God. Stay standing if you only want to exhibit the heart of a lamb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God is good. I'll make a quick appeal and then we're going to be done. I know it's been a long day. I know. My first appeal is for anybody in here who has not been baptized in the Seventh Adventist Church and you want to commit yourself to God today, begin Bible study so that you can join the Seventh Adventist Church. Because you've been living like a beast all your life, and you want to begin to start living like a lamb. You no longer want to have the heart of a beast. You now want to begin to have the heart of a lamb. Is there anybody who has not been baptized in the Seventh Adventist Church? Who has not been baptized in the Seventh Adventist Church? All right. Next appeal, and we're out of here. You have been baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But if you're honest with yourself, you've been struggling with this beast inside of you. Certain things in your heart, you just can't explain. You have these thoughts. And you want to say, God, please. You want to come up to say, God, please, I'm sick and tired of the beast inside of me. I want you not only to tame the beast inside of me, but I want you to kill the beast inside of me. If that's you, come forward. Come forward and we'll pray about it. Folks, we're at the end of time. We're not waiting for the end of time anymore. And we really don't have time to play any church anymore. Oh, thank you so much, sister. Should listen to my wife. The world is, the earth is groaning because of sin. People no longer respect humanity. They don't respect each other. Mothers are killing their babies. We don't have time to play church anymore. If you want to come forward and say, God, I'm sick and tired of dealing with this beast inside of me. Please help me today. Come forward and we'll pray about it. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sisters. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we are so weak, fragile, and feeble. This sin thing keeps popping up in our hearts and our minds. And we struggle with this thing every single day, Lord. But we're asking today, God, in the name of Jesus, that you kill this beast inside of us. We're so sick and tired of this beast. Please, God, wash us and cleanse us, purge us and purify us, heal us and help us, change us and transform us, forgive us and convert us. But most importantly, please, God, save us in your glorious kingdom and don't let the beast inside of us kill us. Help us to allow you to kill the beast in our hearts, so that we no longer exhibit the heart of the beast and only exhibit the heart of the Lamb. Forgive us in Jesus' name. We truly pray and we say, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. God bless you so much.